Tobacco use is the leading single preventable cause of death worldwide, killing over 7 million people each year. Its economic costs are also enormous. They total more than a US $1.4 trillion in healthcare costs and lost productivity. It is one of the major risk factors for stroke and cerebrovascular disease. Stroke, however, is preventable. According to the new WHO report on the global tobacco epidemic from 2017, controlling tobacco is the way to diminish its hold on global populations. The WHO has implemented a measure called Empower as the framework for tobacco control. These measures have helped avert potentially millions of deaths and saved hundreds of billions of dollars in the past decade alone. Empower was established in 2008 to promote government action on 6 tobacco control strategies in line with the WHO. So the M is for monitor tobacco use and prevention policies. The P is to protect people from tobacco smoke. O is offer help to quit tobacco use. The W stands for warn people about the dangers of tobacco. The E is enforce bans on tobacco advertising, promotion and sponsorship. And the R is for raising taxes on tobacco. I'm Carmen Lev Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, which is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. I spoke to Lubna Bhatti, epidemiologist with the WHO, to give us more of an insight into the WHO's further directions in this area.
My name is Lubna Bhatti. I'm an epidemiologist and I work for the Department of Prevention of Non-Communicable Diseases. And my role within the department is to look after tobacco surveillance and also surveillance of non-communicable disease surveillance.
Thank you so much for speaking to us, Lubna. It's so important to have the voice of the WHO, especially someone who's working in epidemiology and looking at what modifiable risk factors there are potentially for stroke. So we'll get straight in. Obviously, because we're the World Stroke Organization, we're thinking about stroke, and tobacco is, of course, one of our most major avoidable risk factors for a cerebrovascular disease. Could you give us a little bit of a background of the position that the WHO takes on smoking? And then we'll have a discussion about some of their interventions.
I mean, from WHO's point of view, any exposure to tobacco is harmful, and that includes both active smoking as well as and use of smokeless tobacco, and as well as exposure to secondhand smoke. And we take it very seriously. And obviously, since 2003, ever since the implementation of the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, the first UN health treaty to be negotiated under WHO. And I think from an organizational point of view, this is the topmost problem, and obviously half of the tobacco users eventually pass away because of or die from diseases related to tobacco. In terms of the interface with stroke, as you very rightly said, there are some modifiable and unmodifiable risk factors for stroke, and between the modifiable along with high blood pressure, tobacco is the next one. And that link has been established very well by various Surgeon General's report and with other work in the scientific area. While a lot of people associate lung cancer and smoking directly with each other, but there is a far greater number of smokers who actually develop heart disease or stroke than lung cancer. It is, I would say, tobacco control would be a top intervention for prevention of stroke.
And so what countries are most affected by smoking as a risk factor for cerebrovascular diseases?
There's a commonality between the risk factor and the disease, because both for stroke and for tobacco prevalence, we see the low and middle income countries being hit the most. For stroke, we see a lot more deaths coming from the burden of death coming from the low and middle income countries. also the deaths in the premature age, which is like we define it as 30 to 70 years. That's where all the young potential is. That's where you are at the prime of your age, contributing to your family and to your community and also to your country. And that's when you get, you know, because of, and similarly to, for tobacco smoking, all the tobacco attributable deaths, we start seeing more in the young age. Once you arrive in this world, everybody has to go. But our take is that nobody should be going before living their life to the fullest potential and contributing to the society. And I think that's where tobacco control comes. It becomes more important because you see a lot more young people die because of tobacco and obviously consequently from stroke.
The WHO has done a lot of work on this and they've actually implemented some strategies. Let us know what those strategies are and just sort of explain the direction that the WHO is going.
For tobacco control, it's a powerful tool and it's a legal commitment that right now 180 out of 194 members, WHO member states have made. Within the WHO FCTC, there are 22 articles or I would say commitments and actions that the countries have agreed to take. Some of them are for demand reduction, where you are decreasing the demand by the consumer by various interventions, and some of them are the production measures, for example, the you know, the crop substitution and all. And of these, we have a smaller package which we call Empower, which is a select six strategies from here which have the highest impact, which we are helping countries implement. And in Empower, we have monitoring our tobacco use and prevalence policies, because if you can't measure, you don't know in which direction you are going. The P is protecting people from tobacco smoke or secondhand smoke. And O is for offering to people to help quit tobacco use. And the W and E are more in terms of telling people about harms of tobacco, this is a warning, and enforcing ban on tobacco advertising, promotion, and sponsorship. And the last but definitely not the least is R, which is raising taxes on tobacco products, which makes it less affordable and definitely is shown to be the one of the most effective interventions for tobacco control. Obviously, with the FCTC, we're working in all areas, also including in the tobacco protocol ratification and work around those areas. And I think Empower is the biggest thrust of the work that we've been doing. Obviously, in the current report, the Global Tobacco Control Report, and the previous iterations, five iterations of this, this is where we are monitoring the progress of the country, and that's where we provide the maximum. That's where we have kind of prioritized the health or the technical assistance that we give to the country.
Where do we move forward now with tobacco? I mean, all these things have been put in place. It seems to be working, and it seems that tobacco use, especially in high-income countries and developed countries, is very successful. So what do we do now to focus on low- and middle-income countries?
Actually, interesting that you say that, but in the recent report, what we have seen is we actually have seen more progress in terms of tobacco control measures in the low- and middle-income countries. As I said in the report, the Global Tobacco Control Report is also kind of organized around the Empower theme. And within each of these areas, we look at the countries in terms of, you know, to what extent we see the policies being implemented and sometimes the coverage of it. And where we have seen in the past 10 years since the first report came out in 2006 is actually in the low- and middle-income countries. However, the prevalence, the tobacco prevalence itself seems to be coming down more in the high-income countries than the low- and middle-income countries. And obviously, it's got to do with how strong and powerful the tobacco control measures, enforcement and compliance is at the ground level.
Something very interesting that I read in the report when we were looking through it was that in actual fact, the WHO also implores countries to stand against tobacco companies that are still pushing to sell their product in low, middle-income countries. I mean, what is the strategy there for the WHO?
In the WHO FCTC, the tobacco industry interference is recognized as as one of the threats to tobacco control prevention, as per the Article 5, which is the tobacco industry interference. And so we take it fairly strongly. And if you see the results of the Global Tobacco Control Report, we haven't made much progress in the area of R, which is raising taxes. This is the most easy measure to implement. It shows the most effect, but we haven't seen much progress in it. And most of it is because of tobacco industry interference. Because obviously, when the taxes go more, the users will not be using it as much. The young users, it makes it less affordable, these products. So the young experimenters will not take it up. And similarly, for people who have already been using, will also be giving up. So that's where it hits them the most. It also, at the same time, is a big area where the vastly underfunded tobacco control and other NCB control programs of the country could have some revenues to spruce plump up their programs. So that's where we face a lot of in-country and kind of global pushback from the industry. But we've also starting to see, the countries are interested in this measure, and they're at various stages of bringing it up to the recommended level.
And you touched on something that I think is really important as well about young people, people who haven't smoked before. Are we seeing a decrease? Are the statistics telling us that there's a decrease in young people picking up smoking, even in the low and middle income countries?
Unfortunately, we don't have anything to say where the trends are going. That's some work we are already doing. It's in progress, and hopefully by the end of the year, we should be in a position to make a formal statement on that. But from anecdotal, from a bird's-eye view of some of the countries where we are involved in, or where we have implemented the Global Youth Tobacco Survey, we are actually seeing a rise among boys and girls. And this survey is done for the 13 to 15-year-old because, they're able to kind of answer the question for themselves. And what's worrying there is that previously we used to see a big difference between the boys and the girls, which was reflective of the difference in the adult men and adult women tobacco use prevalence. But now when you start seeing that at the young level, that difference between young boys and girls is becoming much narrower. So obviously it shows that things are changing for young people, especially for young women and young girls. And I think that's where a lot of tobacco industry targeting the youth. I think tobacco control is something which is extremely important, not just for the harm that it brings to just by the tobacco use, but also in terms of what it contributes to the overall development agenda. As you would know, that we finally in the Sustainable Development Goals, tobacco use is one of the indicators to be measured in terms of for the health indicator. So in the 2013 agenda, this is very much highlighted there, and in terms of the overall achievement of the target on the non-communicable diseases. With the package of implementation of the Empower, we definitely can see progress. We've already seen progress from other countries. And what we need is for it to be implemented at the highest level of achievement and also to improve the enforcement and compliance. The WHO team is available for all kind of technical assistance. The Global Tobacco Control Report is available online. We also have individual country profiles where countries can see the progress they have made and where do they stand and where they do help countries achieve that target.
And one more thing before you go, I'd just like you to make a comment on a lot of people are using e-cigarettes now, and they have the impression or the understanding that an e-cigarette is not as toxic as a classic paper and paper cigarette. What are your thoughts on that?
On e-cigarettes, there is still a lot of scientific work going on. It's a new novel product. And at this stage, I think WHO's position is we are not endorsing it as a harm reduction product. And I think we will be waiting to see the more rigorous scientific evidence come out on e-cigarettes before we make a formal statement on it.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Lubna Batty from the WHO and Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication for the World Stroke Organization. Our mission is to reduce the global burden of stroke. Please consider becoming a member.